PSA, if you're ever at a place with live music, don't yell Freebird.
Freebird!
It's not cool anymore. Hasn't been cool for a while.
What about karaoke? Is that allowed?
That would be an unhinged song to do for karaoke.
You know, in marketing today, there's really two currencies, heart and heat. Brands that try to capture the moment, partner with celebrities, get viral, live with the controversy, and brands that are slow, methodical, and play the long game, really building on trust and loyalty. What are your thoughts on this, V?
I mean, we've talked a lot about how companies jump on viral moments. Think about Heinz with the lip gloss case right after Hailey Bieber's brand Rode came out with a lip gloss holding case. And they're like, we got one better. Ketchup packet. Pringles and Little Caesars having similar creative in the Super Bowl, jumping together immediately and putting something on social. We've seen a lot of this. It's so easy to put out content really quickly and to join any kind of a viral moment or a conversation. However, that conversation can also turn on you, which is a little bit of what we're going to talk about today.
And with that, let's get into it. American Eagle or Dove? What's it going to be?
Because I used to buy their clothes in middle school, I'm going to take American Eagle.
A loyalist. I love it.
Which means you're going Dove. American Eagle, founded in 1977, which when we were preparing for this episode was a shocker to me.
It was like 2000.
I'm like, this is...
They came around when I needed them.
And
then they were gone.
And I didn't need them anymore. One thing that the brand did that always stood out to me is they had a sub-brand called Aerie, which is lingerie. It's kind of gotten into swim and comfort and sleepwear, like what started as this kind of very small product line within this overarching brand has evolved to like their own store. And what is noticeable about this, and I think respectable, is Aerie was one of the first major brands, again, owned by American Eagle, that made a commitment to stop retouching photos of models. Which this is a big problem when you think about the beauty standards that women see in magazines, men too, of what it is to be beautiful and how a woman should look. And when you look at the original versus the edited photos, it's insane some of the shit that they're doing. Very talented people doing that work. Yeah, yeah, whoever's doing it.
Changing jawlines, moving things around.
Yeah, I don't know what working for the devil looks like, but that's pretty bad. So Aerie came forward and said, we are going to make a commitment as a brand to no longer retouch photos and just show real women, real bodies. And so that was something that I even recall being a moment where I was like, hey, it's pretty cool. Because you hope people follow that trend that they set.
You know, talking about a brand like Aerie, some of the refreshing things that you are speaking about with regards to not touching up the photos, I can't think of a better brand to talk about than Dove. Started in 1957, beauty brand that's been acquired by Unilever, but has been running a campaign for over 20 years now. The campaign Real Beauty, started in 2004, is all about showing real people, really thinking about body positivity, showcasing what their customers look like, not what a model is, not what a view that society would like to see of what models could be or what women could attain to look like. And that's something that in many ways has been a purpose-driven component of their brand campaign. What's great about their marketing is it feels very purpose-driven, and they do a heck of a lot of research. Anything that they launch goes through this entire machine, partnering with research firms and nonprofits to back up their information with real data, which makes their messaging seem more credible and have more weight when it actually hits the marketplace. So this strategy isn't about one-off viral hits. I mean, 20 plus years to run the same campaign. They just refreshed it for 2025, but it's the same concept. That's something with real legs. Okay, that was a joke, but that's fine. You don't have to weigh in on that one.
Wouldn't it be wings?
It's wings, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Bars of soap with wings on it, just flapping around. But it makes a real emotional bond. And for the people that are Dove lovers...
Dovers, if you will.
They feel a real connection because they have that consistency. And the stock price, the success of Unilever. Unilever grew 4% in the second quarter last year. Dove had a huge part in that, double-digit growth. And they spend 15% of their revenue on advertising, so it must be working.
Advertising works, folks. You heard it here first. So American Eagle's strategy, on the other hand, is very focused on partnering with celebrities, with who's kind of like the it person of the moment, very focused on reaching Gen Z. And we might remember, remember the show Outer Banks? Did you watch it?
I did, sadly.
Sadly, it got a little crazy. But during COVID, it was a hit. It was like the opposite of being trapped in quarantine. It was this endless summer utopian group of young folks who had no real responsibilities, and they get to go on a treasure hunt. Come on.
Yeah. Like, outrageous.
And they're so well-dressed, right? And it's like the beachiest kind, like they live at the beach kind of energy. And so American Eagle partnered with them and launched a campaign in 2021. They have like an augmented reality component where you can try on different jeans or like find jeans in Snapchat. And if you look at the five-year trend of American Eagle stock, since that time, like right in the height of COVID, it has not anywhere remotely gotten close. However, the Sydney Sweeney ad, which, God, we have to talk about, of course. That's part of why we did the episode. They had a 7 to 10% stock jump within about 48 hours of launching this campaign, $200 million valuation spike, and it seemed like it was going really well. At the time we're recording this, which we know how fast stocks can change, they're back down 4%. So this is something where, again, when we talk about also stocks, is just what the market perceives as the value. We don't really have the information on how any of this is translating to sales. But since we're here, it's time for us to talk about it. We've seen it, I would assume most people have.
Or we're talking about it. Maybe we haven't seen it, but everybody is
or you've
forming
heard,
an opinion.
So exactly. Everybody has an opinion on this. So the Sydney Sweeney Great Jeans campaign that has ignited a discourse across social media. And rather than me try to explain this, I brought a clip.
Let's play the clip.
My jeans are blue.
The campaign has a clever slogan. Sydney Sweeney has great jeans. That's jeans with a J. But many believe the implication is that Sydney Sweeney's jeans with a G are superior.
My body's composition is determined by my jeans. Hey, eyes up here. Sydney Sweeney's new ad is deeply, deeply unsettling to me.
It's a problem when white people try to say that the superior jean is blonde hair and blue eyes.
But others are saying it's much ado about nothing.
I'm not gonna stop you.
Well, the fun police have found something else to be angry about.
What I thought that meant was, well, she was wearing some great jeans. I guess I'm really naive.
And the jury is out on that one, but it's crazy. It sparks so many conversations. Who was in that room? You know, did anybody raise their hand like the Kendall Jenner Pepsi ad and go, are we sure now's the moment? Or could this be misconstrued even if it wasn't the intention, which some people feel very strongly that it was?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's a really weird moment in marketing. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Your best case scenario, if we wanted to rewind the tape and do this all over again, is to cast a few models and say they all have great jeans. Black, white, Hispanic. You broaden the tent. You put all different faces so that your audience can see themselves in it, and then the peanut gallery shuts up. But it is really hard as marketers, right? It's like you're going to create this homogenization of every single person in your advertising. If you're not, and they didn't, I don't know. It's hard for me to not say this isn't somewhat of a calculated play to just get a headline.
Right. It kind of seems like it is. And I don't know if it's as like double click into Evil Town that a lot of people think it is. It might just be something that was very purposefully done, not purpose driven, and executed this way to sell rage, right? Like that's what gets the clicks, unfortunately.
Or sell sex.
Yeah, well, that's
we're back
that
to
too. We're back to the
blunt sex sells marketing,
which is like,
which was a simpler time.
So simple. And I thought, I guess we have not moved past it as much, but yeah, it's like it used to be you were selling attention. That's what advertisers coveted. That's why we sell eyeballs. That's why we need ratings. That's why we need engagement. But at the same time, it's now no longer that. It is our rage. It is the discourse, right? That's what gets people talking, is the disagreement and wanting to have an opinion. It's the same way that part part of the identity of loving the Red Sox is about hating the Yankees. Mm. The polarization of how we are commenting on what is around us in our society and how fast we can do that is something that you can play. It's just high risk, high reward, air quotes for those who are listening, because we haven't really seen how this is going to translate to sales. But geez, are people talking about it?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, American Eagle and their agency or whoever came up with this, marketers love their personas. They love putting them out there. People thought about this and they made the decision, and maybe they made the decision without all the information, or maybe they made the calculated bet to say, maybe we want to move back. Some people want to move back to the sublime era of simpler marketing, or maybe they didn't think it all the way through.
Well, it seems like with the amount of people all over YouTube and Reddit that are calling out how this is an echo of the Brooke Shields, Calvin Klein ads from the 80s, it makes you wonder, because they are so similar in so many ways. Is that another kind of notch in the opinion of maybe this is calculated? And rather than me again explain that, let's hear this in Brooke Shields' own words.
You want to know what comes between me and my Calvins? Nothing.
I was naive. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it was had to do with underwear. I didn't think it was sexual in nature. I would say it about my sister. Nobody can come between me and my sister. What was shocking to me was to be berated by, oh, you knew this was happening. This is what you thought. You were thinking these thoughts.
This is one of those situations, too, where it's like, don't hate the player, hate the game. Like, can you be mad at Brooke Shields? Can you be mad at Sydney Sweeney? Like, what? But someone wants to be mad at something, right? Like, we have to have our rage directed at somewhere, and it can't just be the capitalist hellscape that all of us exist in.
Yeah, and in some ways, considering both of these brands, and we said, marketers, damned if you do, damned if you don't, there's also this whole peanut gallery over here that's like, oh, but if you're just putting in so-and-so in the thing in order to check the box, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like really hard to get to that place where you truly are representing your audience, doing it in an authentic way, doing it in a way that's relatable. Maybe there's humor, there's something that connects, and it's not like so vanilla and boring that people are just scroll past it like, oh man, so glad you made that. Let's move on.
So speaking of moving on and doing something that people connect with, do you want to talk about the Dove Costa Beauty project?
Yeah. So I think this is a really powerful campaign that just speaks about, in some ways, the toxicity of the beauty industry and beauty standards and what's required and what it puts young women and young men into as they grow up in their early life. I want to play the clip.
Good job, Mary.
So this opens up. And we see Mary's story come up on the screen. And it's a montage of kids playing with one another and her mom. And as this clip continues on, she's having her birthday, she's having all these special moments, and then it cuts to her at the hospital in a ward specifically set up for eating disorders.
Yeah, and then it cuts to, it's just like women with their mom talking about, like, every girl or young woman is like recovering from depression, recovering from an eating disorder, recovering from self-harm. And it's all about the toxicity of this.
Toxic beauty content is greater than we think. The cost of toxic beauty content.
And it's a $500 billion industry that is like hurting young women in the same way that a lot of them try to make women love themselves and feel beautiful. But advertisers kind of sit at the pinnacle and these companies and the people leading it of being a proper steward of some of these conversations. So it's great to see them lean into it.
In terms of how they delivered this, they delivered it globally across 10 countries, targeting youth activist partners. And the results are in. 400 million plus earned impressions within the first 2 weeks. 14% brand lift in terms of trust that was measured amongst Gen Zs. Doing pretty well. Making a splash.
Making a huge splash. But even a brand like Dove is not safe from the occasional fumble and critique that is in such a similar tone of what we're talking about with American Eagle. So in 2018, they had that ad where you had women who were, it was showing how
they were ripping their shirts off.
Yeah, they were ripping their shirts off, and it was another woman under there, and it was all about how, like, we all under our clothes have skin that, regardless of what we look like, can benefit from using these products, and we're all beautiful. But in one clip in particular, there was a black woman who ripped her shirt off and under it, she becomes a white woman. I'm doing air quotes for the listeners, right? And what was so interesting about this is there was so much backlash about that because, as Kamala Harris said when she was running for presidential office, we exist in the context. So, like, the context is important. But rather than hear me blab about it, the model who was in the middle of that backlash talked about what that experience was for her. And she talked about how she loved being in that ad and felt so incredibly beautiful. And then once this backlash came out, it kind of made her feel like shit because this thing that she didn't see like that, it was one social clip that, again, took it out of the context.
She was one of like five women.
Yeah.
She just was first.
I'm not wholeheartedly defending Dove. Preparing for this sort of misinterpretation is something that Dove could have anticipated. They immediately issued an apology. If Dove had defended their creative vision and defended their choice to use me as a dark-skinned woman, defended their reasoning for using me first, for whatever reason, it could have put a different type of narrative into play.
Brands lose a lot of credibility when they walk back their creative decisions, when they immediately retreat. Mm. It just, you look guilty, even if you're not, even if you put a lot of thought into it, even if you, like she said, had a creative point of view as to why she was first. If the gut reaction is just to just run away and...
Customer ain't always right.
Customer isn't always right. And some work needs to be interpreted. And sometimes your audience is, again, peanut galleries on both sides. Right. They're just like searching for hidden metaphors. Yeah. And you're going to get judged no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm. So if we had to talk about any other brands, let's talk about a couple chasing the viral moment. Balenciaga. Oh, God. high fashion brand knowing for shock value and controversy, trying to maintain their position on the edge of fashion culture. And I imagine it's them on the edge, like redlining it, about to fall over the edge of the cliff. Like, I don't know if that's the edge you want to be on. Yeah. In high heel Crocs. Google it.
Oh, God.
It will be in your nightmares.
Oh, no.
Duolingo, a brand that known for unhinged, super viral social content using their mascot duo that then killed their mascot, then laid off 10% of its contract work force, started leveraging a bunch of AI, changed their product, came back using Duo's face on people instead of this like fun mascot, which is also like we're humanizing the creative, but we're dehumanizing the product. Kind of interesting, and is getting absolutely ripped apart. It's crazy. And when asked about this, a spokesperson for Duolingo told Fast Company, "Let's just say we're experimenting with silence. Sometimes the best way to make noise is to disappear first."
Oh, God. So we've talked about a lot of heat on the show. What about hard? I mean, I think about a brand like Lego, from their inclusive product design to them pushing STEM and all sorts of other things. They consistently deliver on, I think, what is some of the best qualities to promote that are in all of us.
Yeah.
And now for something completely different.
So if you had to put this to work, first, choose your signal wisely. In 2025, there's heart, there's heat. Both of these currencies can be spent differently, and they have different returns and different outcomes. Second, don't flirt with controversy unless you're ready to commit. You're either calling the fire department or you're selling s'mores. Next, consistency is still a radical act. The fact that Dove's been still at this 20 years later means that they are just building this goodwill machine. And last, reputation is a compounding asset. It's not something you build in one quarter. It's something you build year over year.
You've got to do something, please. These birds, they're the jerk of the year.
So, if you had to take anything away from the show today, Veronica?
I would say not all creative is going to be well received. There's an element of risk putting anything into the market, but that's kind of the cost of doing business. And for many of us, that's part of the thrill of it.
Well, mine would be, if you're building a brand in 2025, you're either trying to be talked about or trusted. And with that, we're out, folks.